Dear Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that we can be on your side, for opening up the way of salvation. Oh God, we praise you for your goodness and your love to us, and your mercy for redeeming mankind. Father, pray that you would be with me as I share. Pray that you would take these few loaves and few fishes and multiply them, fulfill every need. Just bring courage and strength to those that are weary and discouraged, those that are heavy-hearted. Pray that you'd be near to them. Just be with the ones that are broken. You would bind up their broken lives. Give them new hope, new life in you. Thank you that you've done that in our lives and are continuing to bring salvation to our hearts. We praise you and we bless you. Pray that your name would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. This morning, I want to talk about God's mercy. God's mercy and compassion on us and in our lives. My title is God, Our God, Plenteous in Mercy. Our God, Plenteous in Mercy. Start with, why don't we open the songbooks to song number 154. Title is What Mercy and Divine Compassion. I'm going to just read it. What mercy and divine compassion hath God in Christ revealed to me? My haughty spirit would not be asked it, yet he bestowed it full and free. In God my heart doth now rejoice. I praise his grace with a grateful voice. I praise his grace with grateful voice. Eternal wrath should be my portion, the Lamb of God for sinners slain. Remove the curse and condemnation, his blood atoned for every stain. God's love in Christ on Calvary's tree from guilt and shame hath set me free. From guilt and shame hath set me free. Great God, accept my adoration. Help me thy mercy to confess. In Jesus Christ is my salvation. He is my hope in life and in death. His blood, his righteousness alone, I claim before thy judgment throne. I claim before thy judgment throne. Thy bounteous grace is my assurance. The blood of Christ, my only plea. Thy heart of love, my consolation, until thy glorious face I see. My theme, through never-ending days, shall be thy great redeeming grace. Shall be thy great redeeming grace. I was really blessed with the service so far. And what's our theme through endless ages? Thinking about the song that they're singing in heaven over the rejoicing that happens over one sinner that repents and comes to the Lord. First couple verses here I'm going to read are talking about God's mercies and how full his compassions are. First one is in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's mercy on us is the only way we're not consumed. And because his compassions fail not, but they're new every morning. God is faithful to be merciful and compassionate to us. In Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Do we find the Lord as being gracious and full of compassion to us? We can. He's slow to anger. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Psalms 186, verse 15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. We look at God's, he is full of compassion. When you have something that's full, it runs over. God is running over with compassion. He's long-suffering. And he is plenteous in mercy and in truth. This morning, looking at the attribute of God's mercy and God's compassion, I realize it's not all of God's character, because God is a God of justice. And God is a God of truth and righteousness. But his truth and his righteousness is what makes his compassion and his mercy so great in our lives. Because without that compassion, none of us would be here. We'd be consumed. So the justice of God makes the mercy and compassion of God greater. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon. Okay. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is wanting to abundantly pardon. But we must forsake our way. The wicked must forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We must be broken, as Dan was sharing. And then God can bring healing. God can bring that pardon in our lives. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. This is when Moses and the Israelites were receiving the two tables of stone, the Ten Commandments. And God had given the Ten Commandments, and the people, we know the story, as Moses was in the mountain, they turned away, and then God rewrote those commandments again because Moses had broken the tables of stone. So starting in verse 6, Exodus 34. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, If I now have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us for this stiff-necked people and pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us for thine inheritance. That's what God wants to do. He wants to take us for his inheritance. So many times we are stiff-necked people. And we don't allow God. We don't accept God's mercy. We want to do it our own way. But if we're broken before him, then his mercy can bring healing. And his compassion is about, he will abundantly pardon us. Next scripture is in Luke chapter 1. This is Zacharias prophesying of John the Baptist, his son. And he's prophesying about Jesus, and that John the Baptist is going to be the forerunner. Let's start in verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and a shadow and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. To give the knowledge of salvation unto his people, unto us, by the remission of their sins. And then God, through his tender mercy, through the tender mercies of our God, can visit us. And we can come to God's throne only because of God's mercy. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. Another prophecy of Jesus being fulfilled. We think of the Gentiles and how that in Jesus' day, it was only the Jews that had the salvation. But Christ came to open the way to the Gentiles to be received unto him. Starting in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed will he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, until he send forth judgment unto mercy. And in his name the Gentiles shall trust. We think of a bruised reed. Something that's almost broken. And yet God wants to heal that. He doesn't break it down and destroy it. But he wants to bring healing to that. His mercy and his compassion for us. And a smoking flax, something that is almost out. God doesn't look at us as worthless. But he sees value in our lives. And he wants to take that and fan that flame in our lives till we can have trust in his name. says the Gentiles shall trust in his name. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God wants to do that. He wants to begot us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. That life, he wants to spring that new life in our hearts. We can dwell with him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath made us alive, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. God, who is rich in mercy. Can make us alive. For we have all sinned. And that sin separates us from God. It's only by God's mercy that we can come to God. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can come boldly to that throne of grace. God wants us to be desperate about seeking him, earnest. Think of all the sacrifices that the Israelites did. To find mercy. Let's read Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. This verse here really caught my attention when I read it, crossed it. Jesus was being questioned why he is eating with the publicans and sinners. And he says, let's start in verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what it meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God wants more than just a contribution from our life. He wants us to be broken before him. He wants us to come to him as a sinner, asking for repentance. And then he can bring that healing. And his compassion, he reaches down and makes us whole. We need to come to Christ with a need. The needs of our life. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Jesus was looking at the multitudes that were coming to him. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was moved with compassion. Are we moved with Christ's compassion when we see the lost? When we see the souls of men, does it move us with compassion? Are we too caught up in our lives to notice, to see the brokenhearted, to see the people that are scattered abroad, having no shepherd? This little story here . The title is "He Took My Whipping for Me." In the mountains of Virginia, years ago, there was a certain school in this section which no teacher could handle. The boys were so rough that the teachers resigned. A young, gray-eyed teacher applied, and the old director scanned him and then said, "Young fella, do you know what you're asking for? An awful beating. Every teacher for years has had to take." The man replied, "I'll risk it." He appeared for duty, and the one big fellow, Tom, whispered, "I won't need any help. I can lick him myself." So the teacher said, "Good morning, boys. We have come to conduct school, but I must confess, I do not know how unless you help me. Suppose we have a few rules. You tell them to me, and I'll write them on the board." One fellow yelled, "No stealing." Another yelled, "On time." Finally, 10 rules appeared on the board. "Now," said the teacher, "a law is no good unless there is a penalty attached. What shall we do with the one who breaks them?" "Beat him across the back 10 times without his coat on," the boys said. "That's pretty severe, boys. Are you ready to stand by it?" Another yell, and the teacher said, "The school comes to order." In a day or so, Big Tom found his lunch was stolen. Upon inquiry, the thief was located, a hungry little fellow about 10 years old. The next morning, the teacher announced, "We have found the thief. He must be punished according to your rule. 10 stripes across the back. Jim, come up here." The little fellow trembled and came up slowly with a big coat fastened up to his neck and pleading, "Teacher, You can lick me as hard as you like, but please don't make me take my coat off. Take that coat off. You helped make the rules. Oh, teacher, please don't make me. He began to unbutton. And what did the teacher behold? Lo, the lad had no shirt on, but strings for the bracers over his little bony body. The teacher said, how can I whip this child, he thought. But I must do something if I'm going to keep the school. Everything was quiet as death. How came you to be without no shirt, Jim? He replied, my father died, and my mother is very poor, and I only have one shirt to my name. And she is washing that today. And I wore my brother's big coat to keep me warm. The teacher, with his rod in his hand, hesitated. Just then, Big Tom jumped up. Teacher, if you don't object, I will take Jim's licking for him. Very well, there is certainly no law that you can't become a substitute for another. Are you all agree? Off came Tom's coat, and after five hard strokes with the rod broke. The teacher bowed his head in his hands and thought, how can I finish this awful task? Then he heard the entire school sobbing. And what did he see? Little Jim reached up and caught Tom with both hands around his neck. Tom, I'm awfully sorry I took your lunch. But I was so hungry, Tom. I love you, and I will love you till death for taking my licking for me. Yes, I'll love you forever. Sinner friend, if you have broken every rule and deserve eternal punishment, but Jesus Christ took your scourging for you, died in your stead, and now offers to clothe you with his garments of salvation, will you not fall at his feet? And tell him you love him and follow him forever. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Tom had compassion on little Jim and took his place. Same way, Christ has had compassion and mercy on us. My next point is Jesus' mercy and compassion in his ministry. We're going to look at a few examples here of Jesus showing mercy and compassion in his ministry. Let's turn to John chapter 8. Here the scribes and Pharisees, starting in verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. According to the law of Moses, this woman was supposed to be stoned. And we see Jesus' act of compassion and mercy on her. The only one that was without sin was Christ. Jesus asked them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. We see the depth of Christ's compassion for the lost. He tells her, Go and sin no more. Gave her a second chance. He's long-suffering. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to be compassionate with us. But we must come to him broken, so that we can receive that mercy from Christ. Mercy is not receiving the punishment we deserve. Mercy is not receiving the punishment that we deserve. Turn to Mark 1. Verse 40. Verse 40. And there came a leper to him, and beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion, and put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, Immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Christ had compassion on him and cleansed him of his leprosy. Let's turn to Matthew 18. It's another example of compassion. Peter came to Jesus and was asking him, how many times shall he forgive his brother? Till seven times? Jesus answered in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which would take an account of his servants. And he began to reckon, and one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have mercy with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord what was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou didst desire of me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to his tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. See how the Lord was moved with compassion on this servant and forgave him. That's like Christ forgiving us. And then if we hold something against our fellow servant, our brother, if we don't, from our hearts, forgive one another, neither will our Father in heaven forgive our trespasses. Next, I'm wanting to look at instructions to show mercy and compassion. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. starting in verse 8. But now ye also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. But put ye on, therefore, elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. We need to forgive one another. We need to put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We need to have peace of God rolling in our hearts. Because we need have all have had that sinful nature. We're supposed to put off those that wrath, that malice, that filthy communication, and put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, long-suffering. In Jude, verse 21 and 23, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We can have compassion and make a difference in people's lives. We can pull them out of the fire, so it was. Hating the sin, but loving the sinner. These things I share, I feel I fall short. I have so many areas to grow. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, see ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. We need to love one another with a pure heart fervently. God has loved us so much. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. Peter is instructing the church here. Starting in verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him ensue evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Do we have that compassion one for another? Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. God's blessing can be on our lives. It says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Do we want God's eyes to be over our lives? And his ears open to our prayer? Or do we want him to turn his face from us? The Lord is against all them that do evil. First John chapter 3. Starting verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother having need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelt the love of God in him? Says in another place that if we cannot love our brother whom we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? But we need to have bowels of compassion for the needs around us, in our church, and in our homes, and in the communities we live in, the people we work with. Do we see them as Christ sees them? He wants us to have that tender heart where we can show mercy, even as we were shown mercy. And in conclusion, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We need to have that mercy for one another, because we have been given so much. We have had so much mercy for our wrongs. Let's have mercy. On those around us and show them point them to Christ, the only way that they can have fulfillment in their lives. The only source from where mercy and compassion comes from is God. May the Lord help us to be His hands and His feet in the world we live in. May God bless you.